Joining me now, once again, Michael Falter is here from City Lights Cinemas. He and his wife, Susan Tive, own the cinemas. And how many years have you owned it now?
Well, we just passed six this summer, so we're on our, this will be our seventh year.
And we almost didn't have a seventh.
Yeah, we actually closed, well, obviously everybody closed, but we closed that second time, you know, right during our anniversary. Right. Which was tough, which is, you know, the anniversary is something we love every year to celebrate, you know, reopening, and we have free movies for members and things. So that was one of the, sadnesses this year, was just not even being able to have that.
Well, if things clear up soon, then you can have a, just an even bigger and better celebration next time.
It will definitely be better. I don't know when it can be bigger.
Can't be much bigger. Yeah, that's right. It is a pretty huge deal. So last time we talked, you were into about a week or so into your GoFundMe project or your GoFundMe page because of the critical nature of what happened with the COVID-19 shutdown and everything. And you were doing pretty good. You were looking for $60,000+.
65 was the goal.
Was the optimal goal.
That was the optimal goal. And that was basically based on a number of, you know, rent plus utilities plus payroll. Payroll is really the biggest one. And almost all of the grants and other instruments of, you know, government funding, not that we've had any, but they almost all basically rely on you maintaining staff. And that's pretty obvious. People just don't want you on unemployment. And so being forced to shut down again and still having staff full time, that's been one of the harder bits of the puzzle for us. So we just decided, you know, at this point, we gotta ask the public.
And so now you, a little over a month plus into it, month and a half into it.
Yeah.
You guys are right there on the cusp.
We are super close. So it's been amazing. And, you know, first of all, I just have to thank the community. I mean, it's just, you know, we sort of knew, Susan and myself kind of knew that we had a lot of support out there just from our members and patrons who were just constantly asking us, you know, if we were okay. So we knew we had the support, and we knew if we asked for it, that was our commitment to stay and make this thing work one way or the other. And so when we finally did that, it was just really pretty amazing to have that kind of immediate support. And at the same time that we started the GoFundMe, we started curbside popcorn. And, you know, some theaters have done that successfully since March. But since we didn't have staff for so long, and then when we did have staff, we were reopening.
Remodeling.
Yeah. That was a big summer project for us. And so we didn't really even try curbside until, you know, second week of November or something like that. It was crazy.
I was going to say, some of the first images I saw of that were just huge long lines of people.
It was bonkers. I just saw my chiropractor because my shoulder still hurts from so much popcorn. I guess, you know, I'm of the age. But yeah, it was just really, truly astounding. And, you know, for me, that was the surprising thing with GoFundMe is we've had amazing. We had almost 500 donors now, I think, and a lot of them were, you know, 100 and up. And I was expecting, you know, $10, $15, and we like every single dollar. But the curbside popcorn was just an amazing grassroots sort of like, we just want to support you. You know, they're coming out and buying popcorn.
Now they're doing this with the exception of like holiday days, right? They're coming every Friday and Saturday.
Friday and Saturday. Yeah. And so we just, the previous Saturday, we did as a fundraiser for FRA, local arts institutions need to stick together, and they've had a rough year too. So we just wanted to give something back to the community. So we raised $885 for FRA, just selling popcorn and goodies. It was amazing, and so we're gonna just keep doing this until we can reopen, and maybe even after that.
Now, some things have been happening in the last week or so in town, like restaurants reopening for indoor dining, mm-hmm. stuff like that against the governor's orders. Obviously, that's not even something that would really benefit you guys, right? Because you have no movies to support such.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. That is one of the. I mean, there's not a huge upside for us to reopen against the governor's orders.
And there's a bigger downside.
Yeah, there's a huge liability issue. First of all, we certainly wouldn't be in line for any kind of government support, and you know, we could be sued. We could be. It's just not our style. You know, we're here. We want to be open. We've proven we can reopen safely, but we're going to reopen when they say we can reopen. And so for us, the bigger nut, though, is, like you said, the studios just are not providing the product. And the product that is getting out there is also streaming on your TV. So it's not something that we're super excited about supporting at the moment.
So like Wonder Woman 84.
Wonder Woman 84, you can...
Would have been a great...
Huge. It would have been a monster. Yeah. And it's on your... It's on HBO streaming. So to me, that kind of doesn't really get me to a place where I've just got to reopen.
Right.
You know, it's just, it's not going to be the big hit that we need.
But do you feel like this is an oncoming change that's going to continue after theaters?
Well, that's the million-dollar question or the billion. It's actually a $13 billion question. That's how much the exhibitors made, you know, in 2019. It's a huge industry. No matter how many articles you read about the sky is falling for theaters, it's a lot of cash for studios. And I think, you know, in my heart of hearts, I feel like after we get through this nightmare pandemic, people are going to want to get back into a theater. It's a low-cost entertainment. Yes, you have a big screen TV in your living room. Yes, you can stream all this stuff.
It's not the same.
It's just not the same.
I have a huge TV.
Yeah.
I got 75 inches and it's not the same.
I mean, I don't have 75 inches, but
I'm sorry, but
you know, hey, if we're comparing, mine's like, you know, 60.
Well, you know,
but you know, it's like, you know, whether you have a dog, you have the phone, I mean, we all know this to be true. And you know, I watch films for a living. I have a festival that I book, and it is just not the same when you have the constant distractions. I don't even know the last time I've seen a whole film at home that in a way that made me feel like I really experienced it.
Oh, and I tell you what, I am one of those, and you might be one of those too. I am one of those. I don't want any distractions.
Yeah.
I mean, don't talk to me while I'm watching this movie.
Well, that's the whole magic of film, is that when the lights go down, you enter this other world for 2 hours.
That's why I can't watch movies with Wayne. Wayne talks through movies. I mean, I can't do it. It's just, especially like, hey, you're at home. I still don't like it, but you're at home. It's a little bit different because I can hit the rewind and see what they just said. But you can miss an important part of a conversation that totally changes how you view the movie.
And it also takes you out of the experience anyway. I mean, that is the magic. So, and for all these reasons, and just to have an event and go out or see other people. I mean, one of the other issues that I feel is important, and is the whole reason we reopened City Lights in 2014, was that lack of community, especially in smaller towns, when you feel like you can't support economically the model that existed here. I mean, we all know that, you know, the place had been closed for a couple of years, and it was tough, but we managed, I think, through our programming and community outreach to have a really dynamic business model. I mean, it was working great.
Yeah.
We had a lot of support and we showed great movies and people showed up. And I think
there is something about seeing a friend of yours there or seeing somebody you know saying hi, making that connection before you go into the movies and maybe even coming out and go, hey, what'd you think?
It's amazing. I've seen so many people get together and have these experiences in the theater, you know, whether it's family, friends, people will meet from, I got letters during this campaign, like somebody lives in Waldport, somebody lives in Eugene, they meet halfway at the theater, you know, it's that kind of community meeting place, you know, we're losing them. Mm-hmm. And so for me, film is one more reason why we can come together as a community.
I was talking to somebody the other day. Am I correct in this is the only game in town for several coastal towns? I mean, what's the next closest one that does what you're doing?
Oh boy, on the coast,
Seaside.
Seaside has a coming attractions. They don't have a indie, you know. So they're. I mean, There are theaters, of course, in Newport, right. And those are all coming attractions.
But as far as indie goes,
as far as indie, not really. So it's there is the Bijou in Lincoln City, and they do play. They're an independent, and they do play some art films, and they're great.
So that's probably the closest.
That is the closest.
Yeah,
and then of course our spiritual kin to us in Eugene is Broadway, and they've done an amazing job. Tough for them. I mean, they had just completed a monster remodel. You know, our remodel is nothing compared to what they did. I mean, they built 3 new screens, and it's a beautiful place, and it's much, much bigger now. And so this hit them at a particularly rough time, right when you're trying to start paying back those bills.
So we're still kind of in the middle of this. We have to decrease our numbers, and in Florence recently we've been just skyrocketing. 32 cases in the last 2 weeks.
Oh god, yeah,
you
it's
know,
terrible.
It's been going jumping. Obviously we have to fall down to the high level. I guess you can reopen in a high level. We're at extreme now.
Once my understanding is that we have to be in high risk for 2 full weeks before the decision even comes, and then for us in the movie industry it's another week to get the movies coming and started again. So you know, as soon as we get the high risk, then we're looking at maybe a 3-week window if the news stays
good.
So we're hopeful, we're hanging on, we're fine now because of this GoFundMe campaign, and we're just, you know,
what are you hearing from theaters, from distributors, from the movie people in general?
I've talked to them all. In fact, I have a theater that I book in Arizona, and they played Wonder Woman, and they're going to be playing Tom Hanks, News of the World, you know, which I'm dying to see myself.
Me too.
Yeah, I love Westerns. And so I've talked to them all. I think the people that I talk to, the people that book films, they just want exhibitors to hang on. I don't think they feel great about going to streaming. I mean, it's not, they're all people who've been in the business for 20 years and they love theaters, you know, and for them it has always been a huge moneymaker. So I don't think they want to lose that. And I think they have, they're conflicted themselves because, you know, they have bean counters and they have, you know, corporate people who say we need to find some cash now, and if we're late to the streaming game, we're never going to get there. And so that's kind of where they're all jumping right now.
The question I want, is there going to be a glut at some point, or because of the shutdown? Because I know some places continued to do movie production in certain parts of the world.
Yeah, I think like 6 months ago, we were all kind of optimistic that there was going to be a glut, just because most studios had
stuff in the can,
and they had kicked it all down the road, delayed it rather than sent it to streaming. Now that we're 9 months into this, a lot of those titles have gone to streaming. So I don't see the glut that we had all optimistically thought was going to be there. There are certainly some big tent poles that they're just waiting on.
Could be detrimental, couldn't it, if there was too much coming out? Or
I don't think we're going to have that problem.
Right.
Yeah. I think that moment where that was a pressure point is gone, especially with Warner Brothers pretty much saying that 2021 is going to be, for them, every single title is going to be streaming at the same time. And so their titles are automatically just going to be pennies from what they would have made if it had been a theatrical exclusive and theaters were open.
So you just, and now it's just wait for the virus to drop down a little bit and then you can move forward?
Well, we're now that we had a membership drive, we had the holidays, and we have curbside popcorn. And so I've got some great staff. So what we're doing is going to reinvigorate our virtual cinema options. So we're going to have a unified platform so people can rent films from us online. It's going to be much easier than it's been for the last 9 months. And I think partly that is a unique thing that has come out of this whole pandemic, is to see the value that, you know, if you're an independent theater and you have some of these great films that aren't going to be streaming on Amazon or Netflix or anything anytime soon, those distributors can use us as sort of small town marketing tools for those titles, share the profits.
Right.
And it's an accessible film for people who may not be able to get out, even if the pandemic is over. You know, some people, whether it's a mobility issue or anything else, they can see it at home, participate in the community dialogue, and see some really cool stuff that's not going to be everywhere else.
So as opposed to someone going to Hulu, Amazon,
right. Exactly.
Netflix, and then renting a specific movie,
they can
from
come
them.
Straight to City Lights. And right. and the other cool thing with that is you're buying a movie ticket, you know, it's $10 or whatever, and your whole household can watch it, but City Lights would get $5 of that. So you actually are supporting a local mm-hmm. community. And, you know, it's never going to make us a big chunk of change, but it's another thing we can offer folks.
Service.
Yep.
Now is the new format in process, or is it something that's already up?
It's in process. We're hoping to get that online this month, possibly February. It's a matter of technology and getting that platform tailored for us. And then we're at the same time, we have a brand new website, which looks amazing. I'm really excited about it. We haven't redesigned our website since we opened. So, you know, these are the kinds of things we can do while we have this downtime. And then just week, we're actually going to be back in the theater cleaning, getting all the projectors maintained. I'm going to have a film showing on all these screens. Nobody will be watching them. But, you know, for me, the
can
last...
Can I get a key?
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, I might sneak in there. Yeah. The last week for me, I was just like, you know, City Lights is, for me, kind of a living, breathing entity. Like, I feel like it's just been sort of, you know, sitting there idle, and it's getting sad.
Like, not like John Carpenter's The Thing.
Not like The Thing.
Waiting to pop out there.
No, but I think we need to give it some love. So we're going to be turning on the lights and making sure everything is up and ready. And, you know, for me, it's another way. I mean, I already did this during the remodel, mm-hmm. but it's another way for me to kind of make sure that when we are back, that everything is completely top of the line.
All right. Michael Falter, thank you so much for coming in. Good luck getting those final few dollars in there.
It's a great pleasure. I always love chatting with you.
Yeah. See you soon.
All right.
On our last segment, we speak with Wendy Farley Campbell on the annexation of a piece of property out near Hasita Beach Road.